This is Scott Parker, servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering locally in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex and all over the world via the internet. I want to welcome you to my podcast. Father, I just give you praise. I just give you glory, for there's none like it unto you. The great I am who sits on the sides of the north in Mount Zion, the circle of the earth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for your glorious Holy Spirit, for he is the eyes of the Lord who run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on those whose heart is perfect towards you. Father, we just thank you for making our hearts right. Well, thank God I'm going to be talking about how the Spirit of God is moving all over the earth to convince men of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You know, I want to start off by saying I thank God for President Trump and all those that are with him as we take back America. You know, President Trump has been saying some of the same things for many years. He's not wishy-washy like a lot of politicians. And I'll tell you this also, what the Department of Government Efficiency is finding is totally mind-boggling. You know, we've always heard about corruption and wasteful spending in our government, but we never knew it was to this degree of waste and corruption was going on right under our nose. And it just shows how incompetent the people are that are supposed to be watching over this spending, or how corrupt they are. And a combination. And also, all the Democrats and the media outlets who oppose what Dodge is doing are corrupt and incompetent, or both. And God only knows how deceived they are, and that they don't even know what they're doing. Have you ever met people you can't reason with? You say, you just did this. They say, no, I didn't. You say, yes, you did. You just did it. You know, and they sit there and deny it. That's your first clue. They're a deceived person, or, you know, dishonest, or both. But, you know, I'll just tell you this. This is one of the biggest wake-up calls that America's ever had to show who is for the taxpayer, the American taxpayer, and who isn't. All right? And this is going to make a lot of people look bad. It's going to expose a lot of people. And I want to say something also. The body of Christ will be raised up in America. You know, I have to stay sober and vigilant because spirits try to get me to believe a spiritual experience. And know this, if it is the Spirit of God ministering to you, it'll line up with the scriptures of the prophets. You know, I'm instructed to not believe every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. And know this, the devil knows what the Word of God says, and he will quote scripture. Okay, so just because the scripture quoted you is, oh, well, see, there's God talking to me, it's the scripture. And the devil will take the scripture and apply it to you. Like, take, for instance, turn to Jeremiah 1:17. The devil could take the scripture and try to speak to you and act like he's God, you know, and tell me, thou therefore gird up thy loins, arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. And the devil will try to push you to speak. And, you know, he would try to push me to speak and try to scare me that if I don't, say, you're in trouble. You're in trouble if you don't speak that. But you know what I know about God? He'll convince me if it's him, and then he'll lead me to obey. See, the devil will try to corner you. Okay, let's look at the three things that the Spirit of God will convince us of. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. That's Jesus talking. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, this is the Spirit of God, the Comforter is the Spirit of God. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. That's the sin of the world. They're not believing on Jesus. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So look how God is. He sends his Spirit to convince you and me of our sin, that we've erred from the right way, and the right way is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, if you're not believing on Jesus, the Spirit of God will convince you you're in sin because of that. And believing on the Lord Jesus Christ only brings forgiveness, but it changes your heart where you'll live righteously. Let's read John 16, 7 in the New Living Translation. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come, that's Holy Spirit. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he'll convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. So the Spirit will convince us of sin if we don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to John 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That was the purpose, that we would believe. John, you know, John the Baptist was a witness to the light, which is Jesus, so we'd believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. John the Baptist was sent as a forerunner before Christ, and he came in the spirit and the power of Elijah, telling all men to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when God moves in the earth, he wants to convince people to believe. He wants to convince people are with a certain minister. He will manifest his spirit and his power with them. And all the prophets, you know, and we can see all through the Old Testament, all the prophets foretold of the coming of the just one, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. All right, turn to 1 John 3:23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his command. See, we're commanded to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10, verse 9, let's read that. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, I remember after I turned my life to the Lord, I guess I was 20 years old, I was questioning whether I was saved. And I made Jesus Christ Lord of my life. I'd received him when I was 17, but I made him Lord of my life. And I was questioning whether I was saved. I was in doubt. Have you ever been there? And I was going over Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And I kept saying it over and over. Jesus is my Lord. He was raised from the dead. Do I believe that? I'm talking to myself. I said, do you believe that, Scott? Finally, I said, I believe that. And, you know, I was at work. That was back when I worked at Frito-Lay. And I went up to the break room and I sat down and a strong peace came upon me. And a person stuck their head right through the wall and looked at me and smiled. And then they left. I couldn't see it with my eyes, but I know this happened. And it was either the Lord or an angel of God. You know, you can see after Jesus was raised from the dead, he walked right through the wall and appeared to the disciples. You know, and I believe God was trying to convince me, you're saved, Scott. You know, when we're saved, we have peace with God. And that's what came upon me, a strong peace. Now, let's look at how the Pharisees were in direct opposition to the will of God to believe on Jesus. John chapter 11, verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests, the Pharisees, a council, and said, what do we? This man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. Now check this out. God takes the wise in their own craftiness. Verse 49. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. This spake he not of himself, but being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together one, the children of God, that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Yeah, put Jesus to death. See, God used the wickedness of the Pharisees to fulfill his eternal purposes to have his son crucified for our sins and then raised him from the dead to justify us. So the Spirit of God is moving all over the earth to convince all men that they need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God commands every man, every woman, every boy, every girl to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You know, and I'll tell you this, I like what I see going on more and more among college and professional athletes professing their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, today is Super Bowl Sunday, and both quarterbacks for the Eagles and the Chiefs openly confessed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And many other players are confessing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, this is very commendable, and these players are a great role model for the younger generation. Thank God for all of you men and every person out there that's doing that. You know, Matthew 10:32 says, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Luke 12:8, "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." See, I want Jesus confessing me before the Father and before the angels of God. And you know, we also have a president, President Trump, and a vice president, J.D. Vance, who confessed their faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great time to be alive in America. Okay, turn to John 16, verse 7. Let's read that again. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because of the prince of this world is judged." So God's Spirit is also convincing people everywhere they've been made righteous through the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. See, it states the Spirit of God convinces the righteous because Jesus went back to the Father. See, Jesus didn't stay in the grave. He was raised from the dead and ascended back up to heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That was the great exchange on the cross. Jesus became sin for us. Our old man was crucified with him, and we were made the righteousness of God. Now, we read this earlier. Let's read it again. Romans 10:9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." See, you just believe the gospel and you're made righteous. And as you confess Jesus Lord, salvation will be working in your life more and more. Romans 3:21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Now, I would encourage you all out there, read these scriptures out loud over and over, and they will become prayers. And let God convince you that you were made righteous through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is not only being brought into right standing with God through the gospel, but we're also being spiritually regenerated as we continue to believe. And being as you're spiritually regenerated, that you'll be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. That's spiritual regeneration, or that's part of being spiritually regenerated. And you'll be made, that's being made the righteousness of God. Now, the Spirit of God also convinces people everywhere of judgment, that the prince of this world, the devil's been judged. Let's look at that. John 12:31. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Let's read that verse in the New Living Translation. "The time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out." So the time had come for the world to be judged and the devil to lose his authority and be cast out. Now, let's read on and see how the devil was judged and cast out. Verse 32. "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. See that? Through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, the devil was judged and cast out. See, there was so much that Jesus accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. He didn't just die for our sins so we could be forgiven and go to heaven. He slayed the old man. He became a curse for us on the cross. He slayed the old man on the cross. We were healed by his stripes. We were forgiven of all sin. the devil is judged and cast out. That's why it's so important to get a revelation of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, and believe on it. These things will start to work in your life. Let's go ahead and put a song here. We'll do I'll Fly Away by Pamela Pontiac. Now, judgment for believers is correction. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 11:32. But when we are judged, we are chastened. That's discipline corrected of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. See, the Lord himself took the punishment for our sins. So everyone that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is forgiven. And then God starts correcting them, and he keeps correcting them. Now, we have to continue in the faith, you know, to be brought to perfection. But let me tell you this, you're accepted in the beloved from day one. We don't have to be straightened out to be accepted before God. We don't have to do a bunch of good deeds to be accepted by God. We receive the Lord Jesus Christ. God puts a robe of righteousness upon us, and he views us as righteous while he's doing a work of grace in our heart and bringing to pass everything that Jesus did on the cross to make us the righteous of God. All right, turn to Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. It doesn't say having boldness to go in the presence of God because we live such a good life. No, it's because of the blood of Jesus and faith in his shed blood. And then as we continue in the faith, we're straightened out. You say, well, Scott, I've got some sins I can't seem to overcome. And I've tried and tried and tried. Well, let me tell you, what you need is a revelation of what Jesus did on the cross. Learn to believe it, mix, and get your faith stirred up, and mix faith with the death, burial, and resurrection. And then let God give you a godly sorrow. See, a godly sorrow leadeth to repentance. You know, and so God will give you a godly sorrow for every sin. And you know what the problem is? There's too many ministers that try to bring people to repentance with a worldly sorrow, which is guilt. And it doesn't work. They minister guilt and shame to people who are already trying to overcome sin. And they're actually a hindrance to those people overcoming their sin, because it's through faith we overcome sin. And putting guilt and shame on people, it makes it where their faith won't work. Now, let's look at God calling out to his people about their sin. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let's go back to verse 17. Let's read the International Standard Version. Learn to practice what is good. Seek justice. Alleviate oppression. Defend orphans in court. Plead the widow's case. Please come. Let us reason together, implores the Lord. Even though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like wool. Though they be like crimson, they shall become like wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the best the land produces. Let's read verse 18 in the Contemporary English Version. I, the Lord, invite you to come and talk it over. Your skins are scarlet red, but they will be whiter than snow or wool. Let's read verse 18 again in the Christian Standard Bible. Come, let us settle this, saith the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they be like crimson red, they will be like wool. Okay? So God speaks to us and invites us to come to him and talk about our sin, reason together, and settle it. Get everything made right with him. So this is why I'm always saying, just go to God and tell him your problem you're having with whatever fault or whatever sin, and just keep believing on him until you overcome it. All right? And see, there's no condemnation to you if you'll walk with the Lord. Doesn't matter what sin you got. Now, I'm going to give you an example of why people are having a struggle overcoming sin and why they're having trouble getting the blessings of God in their life. Turn to Romans 2:14, New Life Version. The people who are not Jews do not have the law. When they do what the law tells them to do, even if they do not have the law, it shows they know what they should do. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. Now, we're all born with the law of Moses written in our hearts, and it gives us the knowledge of right and wrong. But we're not blessed by God or overcome sin by trying to keep the law of Moses. The blessings of God come on us through faith. Turn to Galatians 3:14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we get blessed by faith. We overcome sin by grace through faith. In the law, it makes us guilty. And then it hinders our faith from working. Let's read Romans 3:19, the International Standard Version. Now we know that whatever the law says applies to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Let's read that same verse in King James. Now we know that what things of the law saith, it said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Now, here is an example of the law of Moses doing what it was intended to do. It holds you accountable to God, makes you guilty, but it doesn't produce faith. It doesn't bring grace. Here's because it wasn't intended to produce faith or bring grace. It was intended to hold you accountable and make you guilty, and it does that. Here's another example of the law of Moses serving its purpose in bringing us to Christ. Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So the law of Moses is used to bring us to Christ, but we're justified by faith. Verse 25, but after faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Okay. After faith came, that's the Lord coming and dying for our sins, being raised again, then we're no longer under the law of Moses. Okay, but go back to verse 22. It's very important you see this. But the scripture have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that do what? Believe. It's very important you understand that. Law's been done away with. The scripture has concluded all under sin. Promise of faith, Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So the promise of faith is to those that believe. It's not automatic. You can come to Jesus and still be under the law of Moses. even though the law of Moses was done away with for the righteous. All right? The righteous are those that walk by faith. Now, let's read verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. See, but you got to believe to get out from under it. Let's read verse 23, International Standard Version. Now, before faith came about, we were held in custody and confined under the law in preparation for the faith that was to be revealed. Now, the word of faith that's spoken of in Romans 10 is the gospel. And when it's revealed to your heart, it'll become real to you, and you'll be able to believe it. And as you believe the gospel, see, not only that, but when you hear it, faith, it puts faith in your heart. It produces faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the gospel. Hearing by the word of God, and it's talking about the gospel. And the faith will be coming forth in your heart as you hear the gospel, and the revelation will get in your heart as you keep hearing it, as it pierces through your heart, and it'll become real to you, and then you'll be able to believe it. And as you believe it, and you get the revelation that the old man was crucified with Christ, that's one of the things that were accomplished through the gospel, then that old man, the body of sin, will be put to death. And as the old man is put to death, then you'll be coming out from underneath the law. Turn to Romans 7:6, International Standard Version. God showed me this, I forgot how long ago, so I think sometime last year. But let's read that. But now we've been released from the law by dying to what enslaved us. That's dying to the old man, so that we may serve in the new life of the Spirit. Then we're coming into the walk of the Spirit, not under the old writings. See, and as you die to the old man, you will come out from under the law of Moses. Then you're raised up with Christ. You can see that in Romans 6:2. Then you will come into the walk of the Spirit of God. Then you can wrestle with the devil and overcome him. Now, let me show you this same order in Colossians. Turn to the second chapter, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. That's raised Christ from the dead. See, you die to the old man, then you're raised up with Christ. And you, being dead in your sins, the uncertainty of your flesh, have he quickened, made alive, together with Christ, raised up with him, have forgiven you all trespasses. You're made alive with Christ, forgiven of all sins. Now, look what happens once you die to sin and you're raised up with Christ. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailed to the cross. See, as the old man is put to death, then God blots out or erases the law of Moses from our heart. Okay, why? It's served its purpose. Then look what happens next. Verse 15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. See, as we put to death the old man, and you put to death the old man by believing he was crucified with Christ. We put to death the old man and we're raised up with Christ. Then we get delivered from the law of Moses. Then we can walk in the Spirit. Then we begin to spoil principalities and powers. And those are evil spirits. Now the word spoil means to put them off. We spoil principalities. We put them off. We push them off us by our faith. We push them off us by the Spirit of God. And not only that, but we triumph over these evil spirits. And then, as we overcome the powers of darkness, the power of God will come forth in your life and in mine more and more. See, this is how it works, folks. So believe the gospel that Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried, that he rose from rose again, and believe you died with him. You were buried with Jesus in water baptism, and you were raised up with Christ by the faith of the operation of God, and you were forgiven, and the purpose of the law of Moses has been fulfilled at this point, and therefore it can be done away with. Then you can have the law erased from your heart. Then you can walk by faith and move in the Spirit and then deal with the devil like Jesus did. And then as you're moving in the Spirit, you can overcome the devil by the Spirit of God. Then you will move in the power and do the works of Jesus. I'm telling you, folks, it all fits together. It all works as you believe the gospel and let the Spirit of God guide you into all truth. Just keep believing. So whatever struggle you're having, whatever bondage you're having, take it one step at a time. God will get you there. hold fast to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will reveal the gospel to you. And he revealed to you what happened to you through water baptism. You know, it says, go into all the world, make Christians, make disciples of all nations. The commission to make disciples is preach the gospel to them, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. That's baptize them in water. And then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So you get a revelation of the death, burial, and resurrection and all that Jesus did on the cross. Get baptized in water, find out what happened to you through water baptism, and then walk in the Word of God, obey the Word of God, and you watch, you'll overcome. Glory be to God. All right, I want to give an invitation out there. You know, I'm sitting here preaching the gospel. I think the Super Bowl is about to end. A bunch of people are out there watching the Super Bowl while I'm preaching the gospel. Well, thank God, enjoy the Super Bowl, but afterwards, hear the Word of God. All right. I want to invite any person out there that's never been saved, never been born again. It says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born not of the will of the flesh nor of the will of man, but of God. When you receive Jesus, you're born of God. And that's just the start of the new birth. And see, being born again, spiritual regeneration is a process, just like being saved is a process. And being saved and being born again are interchangeable. And I can show you that in Scripture. Say this prayer after me. Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I just receive you right now. I thank you that you died for me. You were buried and you were raised from the dead. And I just call upon your name, Jesus. I call upon your name and I thank you as being my Lord. If you've said that prayer, you're saved. God has started to spiritually regenerated you. Spirit of Christ has entered into you, and you're ready to get started walking with the Lord. I want to encourage you to tune back into my podcast, and I will teach you the ways of God. Everybody have a great night. God bless.
Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water.